Jeff and Eric noticed one day that nobody on the internet talked about movies, so they had to find a way. They'll podcast thoughts on new movies they've discovered through autumn, winter, spring, and summer on Fridays. And when you run out of films you love to view, tune into jokes, playing games, all this and more you'll find contained on BBS with Bear and Snyder.
Hello, welcome to Movie BS with Bear and Snyder, the internet's only movie podcast. I'm your host, Eric D. Snyder, here with my co-host, Jeff Bear.
Hi, everybody. I am the co-host, Jeff Bear. That was my... Oh, wait, what? Ah,
you've never gotten that right.
Unbelievable. I'm Jeff Bear.
You're a sidekick. That's what you are.
Let's move it along.
Right out of the gate.
Ugh.
Now, how's everybody doing? Good. I'm glad to hear it.
Wait, what?
I was talking to the listeners.
Oh, okay.
The new movies this week aren't the kind of movies that can be shown to people.
Only dogs will appreciate these movies.
Not the kind of movies that the studio wants people seeing. It's called The Forest. I think every year, the first weekend, there's a PG-13 horror movie that opens that's not screened for critics.
It's your favorite time of year, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So yeah, we didn't see that.
So I have zero plans to see The Forest. Do you have any plans to see The Forest?
I believe I am going to see it. I believe I probably will have seen it by the time people hear this.
Have you told yourself that, and that's why you believe it?
Yeah, well, it's because of my new thing I'm doing.
What's this? What thing?
I guess we haven't talked about it on the show, have we?
No.
Doing a thing for my movie reviews. I got tired of trying to find people to pay me to write movie reviews. It shouldn't be hard because I'm really good at it. And I've been doing it for like 100 years.
And most importantly, I believe you're the only one writing movie reviews.
I know. I'm the only one doing it. So you wouldn't think it would be so hard. But the places that will pay for movie reviews are getting fewer and fewer. And the number of people willing or wanting to take those jobs is increasing. So I decided to cut out the middleman. I'm doing a Patreon.
It's Patreon. I don't know what Patreon is.
It's patreon.com. And it means that you're funded by patrons. And it's for artists and creators and, I guess, critics. We're basically it's for artists and creators and for those who criticize artists and creators.
Perfect.
And so what you do is you can go and you can pledge like $1 a month or whatever. And then you're a patron of mine. And then I write these reviews for free on my site, ericdsnyder.com. And then you get to read the reviews. And you're a patron. And you feel proud for supporting the arts or something.
So I assume somebody would just go to ericdsnyder.com to find out more.
Yeah, there's links all over the place there.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And, you know, it's going so far so good. We've got some patrons building up the monthly pledges.
Very good.
So that's why I have to see The Forest. So I can be to as a reward to my patrons who want me to review everything, I got to do that.
Yeah, be careful with that.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly you're going to be seeing like these weird animated movies starring Rob Schneider if you're not careful.
Norm of the North. I was supposed to go straight to DVD too. They decided at the last minute to put it in theaters in January.
I saw your tweet, and then I was like, whatever the answer is, I don't care.
Yeah. So, yeah, Norm of the North probably also in my future.
Very nice.
But anyway.
Well, also, there's The Revenant. For most people, this weekend is when you can see it. We've already reviewed The Revenant. Mm-hmm. So you can just go back to our archives, which are available at moviebs.com, to listen to that episode or that snippet if you haven't yet. And don't forget, we actually Eric is nice enough to time code these sorts of things. So if you ever just want a single review, it's really easy to hop back into our archives and listen to it.
Super easy. It's easy peasy, cheddar cheesy.
Cheddar cheesy.
The Revenant is going wider, and Anomalisa is expanding a little bit this weekend. Another one you should look for.
Now, wouldn't you say, as far as the things that would excite you most in life, if we were to overhear somebody say easy peasy, cheddar cheesy, like very naturally. Like they're not doing it for our benefit.
Right.
But it actually caught on.
To know that this thing that we invented, that you invented, has made its way into the vernacular. Yes, that'd be very exciting.
That'd be very exciting.
I remember when we came up with it.
Yeah, it was road trip.
Yeah, it was when we were – that was no road trip. That was moving you to San Diego. Road trips are fun.
Eric, I live in Portland.
I know, which makes it all the more annoying that we moved you all the way to San Diego.
It was for a good cause?
I mean, at the time. It made sense at the time. Like so many things, it made sense at the time. It
definitely did make sense at the time. And like pretty soon it's going to be like, oh, yeah, that's right. I lived in San Diego.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the movies we do have to review for you today are other smaller movies in limited release.
Now, they actually still fill the entire screen.
That's true. That's a good point. They are physically the same size as normal movies.
I saw some fool refer to Spotlight as a small movie or a little movie. And it was just like, no, it's not. It's got a known director. It's got a decent budget. It's got a big cast. It's not small.
I think they probably just meant limited release.
Whatever.
Although I don't think that's actually true for Spotlight anymore either. Anyway, so what we do have, let's talk about The Danish Girl.
Oh, the Danish one? All right.
The Danish Girl. The star is Eddie Redmayne and Alicia Vikander.
Yes, who nobody remembers from The Man Named Uncle.
The Man from Uncle.
Right. Mm-hmm. The Man from Uncle.
Was he also named Uncle? I didn't see it.
Everybody's uncle. No, I need to rewatch that one still because I'm one of the few people that watched it.
I know you loved it. Alicia Vikander was also in Ex Machina.
Oh, that's right.
Remember? Remember how in Ex Machina she was?
Here's the thing. It feels like that was an actual real AI. It doesn't feel like an actress could have possibly. But anyway.
That's how good she was. The Danish Girl. The Danish Girl, maybe it refers to her, maybe it refers to her husband. They're Gerda and Einar.
I'm going to go with the husband that it refers to, but anyway.
And what happens is the husband, Einar, Eddie Redmayne, starts to figure out, well, maybe I'm supposed to be a lady.
Mm-hmm. And this is at a time where that sort of thing doesn't happen all too often, or it's then explored if that feeling exists.
Yeah.
And that's a really interesting subject.
Quite an interesting subject.
But for some reason, this movie feels like I had already seen it.
It's by and the way, we should say it's 1920s Copenhagen.
Yeah, directed by Tom Hooper. Hooper? Hopper? Hooper.
Hooper.
Hooper. And it looks pleasant. There is some energy. It really, instead of a story about a man considering what it would entail to become a woman in that day and age, it felt like it was just kind of like spotlight on actor Eddie Redmayne. Look at him act.
Look at the acting. Yeah. Look at him. Look at him act.
And it doesn't dive deep enough anywhere, really. It feels surface somehow, and it feels light somehow for the incredible subject that it is.
I like the way that the story begins, where the wife, Gerda,
very much. Yes.
She's an artist. She has her husband stand in to pose for a painting, stand in for a female model, and that sort of gets him thinking. And they come up with this character, like as a for a laugh, he's going to dress up as Lily. And go out to this party disguised as Lily. Won't that be funny? Because he's sort of an effeminate, soft gentleman anyway.
And but at the same point, it strikes that he's never really considered this.
Yeah, this is not something he's been thinking about before.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea that they start the movie with a concept that could kind of be taken as, it's not his fault. Like, he didn't explore this. This was accidentally tossed in his lap.
Well, and
or pulled back,
or accidentally this was accidentally tucked under between his legs. Yeah,
there we go.
That he, and I think that's interesting and probably accurate. That he didn't know that he had these feelings until this catalyst happened, this jokey thing of joking around that happened to sort of trigger it and awakened those feelings,
right?
Which otherwise maybe he never would have come to that realization if he had never put on that dress for fun that one time. So it's really a lesson about why you should never let your sons play dress up.
No.
Or they will want to turn into girls. No. That's how it happens, you guys.
It's
just kidding.
It's really, and the thing that should have been fascinating was the relationship between the wife and the husband.
Mm-hmm.
And how it evolved. And maybe it just took its time, or maybe it was too pedestrian, or maybe when other individuals become involved, there's not enough stakes or sparks or something. But it all just kind of plays itself out in a path that you assume.
A pretty generic.
How can it like
prestige
it just,
story?
Yes,
about that. You know, the dozen of them come out at the end of the year every year,
and it really does. It reeks of look at the actor, even though it's not a bad movie.
No, it's not bad. And I think Alicia Vikander is really good in a very difficult role of this wife who loves her husband, but also wants to be supportive, but also, of course, doesn't want to lose him. And I think she does really good work in a movie that just isn't worthy of it.
And that's the thing. I almost wish it could have focused on her more instead of him. Eddie Redmayne, I'm getting to the point where I can't – like he's just an odd-looking individual.
He is an odd-looking individual.
And that doesn't necessarily mean that I want him to be front and center of – I don't know if he's a star.
You don't like looking at him is what it comes down to.
I don't think I like –
You don't like the look of him.
I don't think I do.
All right.
That's
fair. That's fair.
I don't know.
He is odd-looking.
We'll keep seeing because he's definitely going to keep being around. Mm-hmm.
Remember how funny he was in Jupiter Ascending? On purpose or not, I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure it was not. But he was. He was so weird in that movie. Whatever that was.
And
anyway.
You're wondering, is there a scene in The Danish Girl where Eddie Redmayne tucks his junk between his legs? And the answer is yes, there is such a scene where he tucks it. Just in case you're wondering. He doesn't then dance around like Buffalo Bill, unfortunately.
He doesn't do that. And the end of the film tries to make us believe this is a little bit more based on a true story.
Yeah.
But it seems like there's a lot of things or liberties taken with that concept. I'm not really sure. But it doesn't seem necessarily to be based on a true story. Is this correct?
That is an excellent question. It's semi biographical, loosely inspired by some real people.
Yeah,
that's as close to real as it gets. Loosely inspired.
It's all right.
C.
Yeah, it's a 5 out of 10. It's all right.
Whatever. Then the other movie we have to talk to you about is Youth.
Youth.
Youth, written and directed by Paolo Sorrentino, who made a movie about 7 years ago called Il Divo, about an Italian prime minister, about a real guy. And I love that movie.
I remember. Yeah, I'm not, I didn't see it.
Yeah, it made some buzz in certain circles. I remember I saw it the 1 year I went to Toronto is why I remember it so distinctly. I just loved it. And then he made that movie a few years ago with Sean Penn as a Robert Smith from The Cure kind of singer who goes hunting for Nazis.
Didn't see it.
That was a terrible movie. Hated that one. That one was called This Is the Place. This Must Be the Place. And then he made The Great Beauty a couple years ago, which I didn't see. Anyway, so he's made a movie I loved, and he's made a movie that I hated. And I was pleased that Youth is a lot more like Il Divo in the style and everything, and also in the sense that I liked it. And I like it even better because it's in English, and I don't like to read.
Always a benefit. What I knew about this movie beforehand was old guys.
Mm. So the title's ironic.
Man, it is so much more.
It's the old guys are Michael Caine and Harvey Keitel.
There's
a couple of great old guys right there.
Really is. And not only that, two guys that you wouldn't necessarily think to put together.
Yeah. Well, partly because Harvey Keitel hasn't really been put in anything lately. That's like, we've sort of forgotten about him.
Yeah, and it's they're two aging artists at this community, which I thought was a retirement village.
That's what I thought first. It turns out, it's just a luxury resort.
It's fancy where, place for rich people. Absolutely. Rich people go here. And
Harvey Keitel is a filmmaker, and Michael Caine is a retired composer and conductor.
I would say maybe the best word for this movie is it's immersive. In the way that it is visual and the energy that it brings and the lovely, lovely musical score and how it uses music and everything. It just – it wraps you in and it and you realize you're watching something very creative and mm-hmm. very original.
Because the story itself is fairly straightforward.
Right.
The Queen wants Michael Caine's character to conduct his most famous piece at a special concert. He doesn't want to because he's retired and he has personal reasons. And Harvey Keitel is working on a new film. Paul Dano's hanging around. He's an actor.
He's amazing. I love his first scenes in this movie are so good.
He's an actor looking for a new role. Rachel Weisz plays the conductor's daughter / personal assistant. She's around. Oh, and she's married to the other old guy's son.
Yeah.
It's a fairly straightforward story. These two old guys talking about retirement and youth and what they did before. But the way that the story is told, it's stylish. I don't think in a way that works. It's not self-conscious about it. It's not, look how stylish we are. It's just a very subtle, quirky, it's rhythmic and it's visually inventive. It's a difficult thing to describe.
It really is because it's thin on story as we've talked about, but it's a film that I'm already excited about rewatching it. Like it feels like it should be talked about and stick around for a while. Mm-hmm. Even though I don't feel so far that like people have, you know, film critics have been like grabbing onto it. The thing that I love about Michael Caine here, I haven't always been a huge fan of Michael Caine. You definitely have. You think everybody should love Michael Caine.
What? How? What? How could you not love Michael Caine?
Because I think he's at his best when he's in this kind of surly role.
Sure.
And that's what he is here.
That's when he's at his best. But when he's doing anything else, he's just at his really goodest. He's always Michael Caine, Jeff. He's always Michael Caine.
Yes, he's always Michael Caine.
Anyway, finish your thought.
That was mainly it. It's like, this is the Michael Caine that I really like seeing. And he does a wonderful job with it. Jane Fonda also. She's in it a little bit.
Oh, yeah, she shows up.
Yeah, she's in it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's addicting.
It is addicting
to feel this movie as opposed to necessarily tear it apart, because we're clearly not. We're not tearing this
No, it is. It
right
has.
Now. We're just telling you that it's a good vibe and you should check it out.
Energy and style and flair. It's got emotion. It's got humor. Yeah.
And it's beautiful. It is.
For
such a simple setting, like a Swiss spa, it is much more.
I give it a B+.
I give it a 9 out of 10.
It's
approved.
Listen to that, you guys. Woo-hoo. Wow, BS approved. And then we don't want to do full reviews of these because they've been out for a while. But we finally caught up on some things.
We should mention some stuff.
We should mention more than one person said, we need to see Straight Outta Compton. And kept saying, hey, when are you guys going to see Straight Outta Compton? Well, we finally did.
Yep.
It's pretty good.
It is.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
I liked it a lot. It's one of those weird things where you can tell you're watching the nice version of this movie, even though
the sanitized version.
The sanitized version, yeah. Even though there's, you know, a few rough parts and things like that. Like, I think the one thing for me is love the music, love the energy, love where they came from. But at the same point, they specifically like the pool parties and things like that that were had.
Yeah.
They really whitewashed some of the stuff that supposedly was going on during that time, and their treatment toward women in particular.
They did not treat women particularly well, these gentlemen.
But the movie does not get into that. And in fact, a lot of women have like some strong roles in these rappers' lives. But in general, I would watch a sequel. I would keep going. I like.
I don't know about
this.
That.
Oh, I totally would.
It's good. It's also, I think this may have gotten lost in all the praise that it got in the big box office. It did. It's a really formulaic music biopic. Like, there's nothing special about this movie. Let's make that clear. It's a really good musical biopic, but it follows the same beats. Starting with the starting small, and there's a shady manager, and the big break, and the like everything that you see in all the music biopics.
Drugs so it is, and money and power.
Right. It is nothing new there, but it is very well done.
Well, I think the new thing might be Suge Knight.
Well, Suge Knight, he's pretty special.
He ruffles some feathers, as Suge can do.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's totally good. Mm-hmm. I liked it.
Totally worth seeing if you get a chance. And you do have a chance. I think it's on video or DVD. I mean, you can watch it if you want.
I don't even know if it is out yet. I have no idea. I don't know.
So yeah, we saw Straight Outta Compton. And then along those similar lines, we also both saw the Peanuts movie.
Yeah.
And this is about the origin of where Peanuts came from.
Mr. Peanut and
Mrs. Peanut.
Mrs. Peanut.
And no, you know, the Charlie Brown thing. I mean, it's fine. It's cute.
Here, I loved the first maybe 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, oh, yeah, this is why we didn't need a Peanuts movie.
Well, remember how all the TV specials we love are 25 minutes long?
Yep.
Yeah.
Like it was a really, it was visually, I loved the differences with the two-dimensional strips and that was the thing. It felt more like the strip than almost the special for a while.
Yeah,
and I really liked that again.
Yeah, like they've got this the 3D looking animation of the characters, but then also the very 2D old style Charles Schultz squiggly lines and exclamation points and words that would appear on the screen that would look more like the comic strip.
It's a wonderful nod.
They use some of the old music from the specials.
Yeah. And then you're just kind of like, oh, I'm in another fantasy sequence with Snoopy. All
right. Right. Yeah.
It's just that.
Series of little episodes of Charlie Brown and his friends, and it's fine. It's cute. But I feel like it's pitched at about 5 years old.
But
there you go.
And again, like those first 20 minutes, I was like, I'm in Euphoria. This is better than Winnie the Pooh. This is the best thing ever. And then I was just like, wait, I think I'm done. Is it done?
No. Yeah, nope. Right. No, still going.
Still going. Oh, yeah, the redhead girl. Got it.
It annoyed me that they refused to give her a name, which I know is because in the comic strip, she never had a name. But here in the movie, she's a kid in his class, and they just refused to ever say her name, and it bothered me. Like, don't make her a major character if you're not going to give her a name. This is why I shouldn't watch movies like this.
What else we got? What else have we...
You know what?
Finally seen.
In Hateful Eight, they use the term pen pal, not coined till the 1920s or 30s or so.
Oh, boy.
So that movie is on my poop list now.
That's too bad because it had a lot going for it.
It really did. It really is disappointing that I have to disqualify it for that. And it's disappointing I didn't realize that when I was face-to-face with Quentin Tarantino, when I could have called him on it.
You would have.
I would have. Oh, well.
He would not have liked you.
He would have given me a... swirly.
It's a work of fiction, is what he would have said.
Artistic license.
Whoa.
Have some cocaine.
I've been what? I've been listening to that soundtrack. It makes everything feel weird when you're driving around listening to that soundtrack. Dun, 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 dun. It's like gripping, and it's you're like talking intense. To your kid in the back seat, and you're just like humming it. Then
driving
as you're walking
to Trader
through.
Joe's.
Yeah. Anyway,
you saw some things that I already reported on, and now you'll offer your 2 cents.
Room. Oh boy,
right? You didn't watch this with the missus, did you?
Man, no. I don't think she would have liked it.
Yeah, good.
I'm keeping it away from her. Man, the term Sunday treat crushes me. Now, it is stressful. It is I was so scared with a lot of the things that were happening in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then the weird thing is, for me, for, I'm not going to get into the details of it because I think it's a movie. If you can go into it knowing very little, mm-hmm. then do that. But maybe like halfway through the second act, it felt a little ordinary and boring for a while. And I was surprised that I felt that way, mm-hmm. Because it felt like there were so many possibilities of what they could focus on that I was just kind of like, all right, you're choosing to focus on this, and this feels not nearly as powerful as everything else you've shown me. And maybe they just needed to take a break for a while, or they had a particular reason to tell this exact story, or the book, or blah, blah, blah. But
it's almost like the people who made the book and the movie are not you.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Hands down, though, it's an 8 out of 10. Mm. Brie Larson's fantastic. The kid is amazing. And I might have – this might have been the most tears generated in a movie for me, maybe. But anyway, it's I think it now becomes BS approved unless you didn't give it a B+.
No, I gave it something like that. So I think, retroactively, Room is now BS approved. All right. Oof. We'll add it to the list.
99 Homes, on the other hand. I finally saw that. Michael mm-hmm. Shannon's very good in it. I recalled after you, I remembered you had said something about it feels like a very small world or convenient mm-hmm. How everybody is kind of put together.
Right.
And I felt that. It's like it's a solid movie, 7 out of 10.
All right.
And then Sicario.
Yeah.
It's one of my top 23 of the year. It's a 9 out of 10. And Emily Blunt's fantastic. And oh my gosh, toward the beginning of the movie, she's really great at her job, and it's very intense. But she's got like these shaky hands, and it just makes you like feel very tense about the whole thing.
Josh Brolin.
Josh, jeez. Yeah. At least I knew immediately when I said it that
you
it
knew it was a Brolin.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's really good in it. Benicio del Toro. It's a lot of layers going on in this movie about the old the border and the drugs, et cetera.
I liked that movie.
Yeah. I don't think it became BS approved.
No, I gave it a B at the time. Yeah. But a lot of people really, really loved it, and it's been on some top 10 lists.
Yeah.
I know it was my friend Brett, who you know, it was one of his favorites for the year.
It's good. People should see it. So, I think it's I think maybe this next week it comes out on DVD.
Maybe.
Pretty sure.
There's no way of knowing.
Do you know what starts playing on HBO?
What?
Mad Max.
Oh,
yeah? People are going to get, like, how many times if you and I had regular old school DirecTV with movie channels and we're flipping around and we see that movie, how many times would we get stuck watching it? Ugh.
The only thing about HBO, though, is it's not going to be in the right aspect ratio. It's going to be – because that movie was wide screen, and HBO shows everything like
– Oh, there's a rule TVs. With HBO? I didn't know this.
They – their own shows, they'll show like wide screen, but movies, they always
– Huh.
Yeah. So that's a little annoying.
That is a little annoying.
But what are you going to do?
I don't know.
Probably not watch it. Question of the week.
Question of the week.
We asked you guys for some suggestions of movies that we should watch that you were pretty sure we had not seen.
And we doubt we'll ever see these. But we were some curious of them we what might. You had to say.
No, a few of these made me think, I think I would like to watch that. One of them, you're absolutely right, we should watch because it even came up on the show, is The Best Years of Our Lives. This was Andrew said this. It came up once we were trying to do a character casserole, and we had to sheepishly admit that neither of us had seen this movie.
Yes.
Had to do with the war, the big war, WWII.
What is it good for?
So we really should watch that, and thank you, Andrew, for reminding us of that fact. It's to our shame that we have not seen that movie.
There's a movie, Austin recommends Tokyo Tribe. Have you seen it? Because I've seen it.
Yeah, I saw that at Fantastic Fest, wasn't it? A couple years ago?
Yes. I wonder if we saw it together and
possibly
failed to talk about it, maybe? I don't
possibly.
Know. I liked it at the time, but for some reason I don't want to ever see it again.
I liked it for a few minutes, and then this is when I realized that this director, Sono, he's too much for me. It's too much. Just settle down. Too much craziness. It's too big. It starts at 11 and it stays at 11.
Agreed.
Too much for me, Tokyo Tribe.
Greg suggested Bridge of Spies, which we were like, hey, don't worry, we finally saw it. And then he's like, oh, okay, see Straight Outta Compton. Don't worry, we've seen it. Oh, okay, there we go.
We did both like Bridge Out of Spies. Bridge of Spies. Bridge
yes,
Out of Spies.
It's in my top 23. It was almost in my top 10.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Joseph says Paddington. All year yes. long. This movie came out almost a year ago now. And all year long, people like Paddington is surprisingly delightful. Mm-hmm. Everyone kept saying how surprised they were, how charming and wonderful it was. I do not doubt this.
Okay, you still haven't seen it. Then yes, I agree with Paddington.
Yeah, we should watch Paddington.
Yes. Eric, did you ever see The Wolf Pack?
No.
Somebody wanted your thoughts about it. They know that I wasn't that big of a fan.
Why, Adrienne, why don't you just assume that I loved it? She says she wants someone to agree with her. So just assume that I love it.
Here's the thing. You're not going to love it.
You don't know.
Yeah. It's official. It's decided. Eric doesn't care for The Wolf Pack.
Oh. Well, now I'm going to see it and prove you wrong.
Okay.
I will love this movie so hard.
Okay. Oh, yes. Daniel says Young Ones. I totally forgot about Young Ones.
From Sundance 2014, 2 years ago now.
Near future sci-fi starring Elle Fanning and Michael Shannon.
I didn't see it there at Sundance. You didn't either, I assume?
No. I should. I want to.
It got, I think, middling reviews. I don't know. Song of the Sea, Emily says. Song of the Sea was nominated for the best animated feature this past year.
Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie?
No, that was
about that Hawaii song that played before Pixar or something? I don't know.
And it looks cute. It's, I don't know, Belgian or something.
So you're saying, do we have to read?
It's probably dubbed with American actors.
Oh, yeah.
I would assume.
I don't know if I... I don't know if I've had... Never mind. I'm going to go down a road that people are going to disagree with, so I'm not even going to bother doing
Emily
it.
Emily watches it over and over again with her children.
We have still not watched Murder Party.
That's right. By Jeremy Saulnier.
Yeah.
Blue Ruin and the upcoming Green Room. Still haven't seen his first movie, Murder Party. We should watch that.
Because we love Blue Ruin and we love Green Room.
Yeah.
Are you with me? Green Room greater than Blue Ruin or Green Room less than Blue Ruin? Those are math symbols.
I don't know.
Okay. All right.
Maybe Green Room equal to Blue Ruin.
Bob, I love your enthusiasm in suggesting a movie. he says The Best of Youth. It's a foreign language film.
Mm-hmm. Italian.
It is 6 hours long.
Yeah. I actually saw the first half of it. It was playing in 2 3-hour halves at the Hollywood Theater here several years ago. And I saw the first half and then at the intermission, like, got a better offer or something. Got a text message, hey, come do something else or whatever. So I didn't see the second half. I enjoyed the first half. It was a good movie. Yeah.
Well, that doesn't even make sense.
Why not?
Why would you stop doing something that you enjoy if you're not going to plan on doing it later?
Because I think that I can just see the second half later because they were showing them separately or together. And I figured, I'll just go and catch the second half another time. And then I didn't. I'm sorry.
Thank you for saying you're sorry. Mm-hmm. I never did see the original Bedazzled. Steven suggested 1967, Peter Cook and Dudley Moore. It's one of his all-time faves.
That seems like a movie that I would like.
I wouldn't mind it. I'm iffy with Dudley Moore.
Mm. It's fair.
All right.
He had some things to say about you as well.
Before his passing?
Mm-hmm.
That son of a...
Steve says Puncture with Chris Evans. I doubt that's a good movie. I'm sorry,
doesn't sound
Steve.
Real.
It's a real movie. I looked it up. Like 50% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh.
I mean, it's probably okay. I don't know, Steve. You got to sell it better than that.
Yeah, just saying something's really good. I mean,
explain yourself.
Yeah.
Elaborate.
Nobody can figure that one out. Mannequin 2. I've seen it.
I have not seen Mannequin 2 or Mannequin 1. I assume I would be lost in Mannequin 2, not having seen Mannequin 1.
I am with 85% accuracy. I'm going to say I saw both of these in the theater.
I believe it. Edward says Muddy River by Koi Oguri, a Japanese
filmmaker. Muddy River.
Who is excellent and sadly underseen. I had not heard of this filmmaker. Muddy River came out in 81, I think. It was his first film. He only made five movies. It was nominated for the Oscar for Best Foreign Film that year. And it's about two boys who become friends or something. I mean, I'm intrigued by it. The thing is, I feel like there are a lot of great Japanese filmmakers whose stuff I have hardly seen. Like going way back, I'm deficient in that area. And now there's just like, oh, great, here's another one. Here's another Japanese director that I got to add to my list that I have to see and appreciate.
I haven't heard of this movie. Nate and Hayes, starring Tommy Lee Jones as a pirate.
Yeah, I looked this one up. It's also known, had another title too.
Nick suggested this one.
Yeah. I wonder if Nick wants us to see this because it's bad, because all the reviews are bad.
Oh.
Nick, we see enough bad movies without doing it on purpose. Now, Nick, if you like this movie, then explain yourself that way.
Oh.
Oh, it was other night. Savage Islands, 1983. That was the name.
Do you see what Dave suggests? Dave suggests Near Dark, which I actually just saw.
Yeah, you did that for your column, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
Dave, you clearly don't obsess over everything I do. That's really unfortunate.
Near Dark is good.
Yeah, I liked it.
The Heiress is an old movie, 1940s something. Olivia de Havilland. I'm not familiar with it at all. Ryan, who suggested that with a question mark, if you wouldn't mind, give us some details of why you think we ought to see this. I'm not opposed to it. I just wonder why this movie in particular.
Yeah, Eric might actually take you people up on some of these suggestions.
Jeff, not really a movie fan.
No, I don't like him.
This is and then Bill, a movie called Bill. Robert suggests this. It's played at some festivals, maybe. Yeah, played at an Australian film festival. Yeah. It has to do with Shakespeare. It's with Shakespeare, like during his lost years. So it's like a comedy history kind of Shakespeare's younger years or something. All right. I can go along with that.
Yeah. And then there's also something called Lawless Heart, which I was unfamiliar with. 2001 film. It's an indie. It's a drama. Cool kid coming home. That sort of thing.
Who's in it? Who's in that?
Douglas Henshaw?
So no one. Nobody's in that. Oh, it had to do – that was the one –
oh, wait.
Like there's intersecting stories.
Bill Nye might be in that one.
Bill Nye is in that.
And
Tom Hollander. Intersecting right, stories.
Right. Oh, and yes. Do you know who Douglas Henshaw is? He's clearly the previous version of – what's his name? And he was in 22 movies last year.
Domhnall Gleeson?
Yeah.
He does look like him, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
He was just born at the wrong time because he's 50 now. It's too late. Too late for him.
Some good suggestions in there, everyone. Thanks for these suggestions. A few of these are movies that I do want to see.
Yeah. See? Good job, everybody. Mm-hmm. Ooh, now for next week.
For next week, we want to know. This was suggested by a listener, kind of. It's been reworded and reworked. And I forget who suggested it. His name might have been Edward. But here's the question. What movie are you most disappointed that someone you love loves? Got it?
Yes.
There's somebody you love, and they love a movie, and you're so disappointed / embarrassed or whatever that they love this movie. Tell us about it.
A bad example of this would be my wife loving Love Actually, because I've sat through it almost every year with her, and it's only now starting to get a little tedious after – goodness, close to probably 11 or 12 viewings of it together. Mm-hmm. So that would not be an example.
A good example would be how you love Patch Adams.
You can't say that I love Patch Adams.
I thought you loved Patch Adams.
I like Patch Adams. I like it.
Even that's too much.
I like Patch Adams, and on occasion, I like it a lot.
The fact that you're not angry that you exist in the same world as Patch Adams is disappointing to me.
I would go to him for medical treatment. Why wouldn't you want to laugh? I don't understand.
Laughter is the best medicine.
See?
So that's the question. What movie are you most disappointed that someone you love loves? Mm-hmm. You can always email us at moviebspdx@gmail.com. And it'll be on our Facebook page. And while we're in the question-asking mood, we should answer a question that was asked of us by our listeners.
It's only fair.
Mm-hmm. In our new segment, which is called Here's a Question.
There's an answer.
Here's a question, there's an answer, our new segment. And the question from Tony. Tony asks, what are some of the biggest differences in how you approach slash perform the show now compared to 5 years ago? Almost 6 years ago. It was April 2010 we started.
All right.
I mean, the biggest difference is that when we first did it, it was live. We were on that internet radio thing. And so we actually sat in a studio, which might have been just an apartment in a high rise.
Could have
had some recording equipment. And but it was a studio.
Weird looking cat from what I remember.
Oh, yeah, that cat. So that was different. We did the show live. We did it more like a radio show.
Right. So that's changed. Otherwise, goodness. We've changed some segments here and there from time to time. Preparation. Mm-hmm. I feel like both of us are very lucky in the sense that we're good at banter with each other. And we're good at explaining how we feel about a movie that we just recently saw.
This sounds like what you're saying is nothing has changed because we started out being great at it.
Right.
No, I don't think that's true. I mean, I think we had some built-in advantages. We used to do more of a Portland local focus, again, because it was a local
thing. We would talk about second run.
We don't do that so much anymore.
Right.
And I think when we started, I think we wanted to do – we originally talked about doing more different kinds of segments and more things and more games and more features. And then it sort of settled into this nice groove where it's mm-hmm. pretty much just we review the new films. We do a question. We play a game.
Yeah.
Which I guess now that I say it out loud, that sounds like we got less creative.
Yeah, we really got
– but we found what works for the show, I think.
I guess. Maybe we need to do something new. Should we end it? Is it over?
Maybe that's what Tony's getting at. Maybe he's like, hey, why isn't your show as good as it was 5 years ago? Tony, what are you doing different now?
Man.
Maybe I'm reading too much into it.
Nah, let's follow Tony's advice and just stop.
All right. This is the last show. Everybody, thanks for listening.
It makes sense. Baby on the way. Me, not you.
Oh.
Whew. Yeah.
Tasha also asked a question that's really just for me, not for both of us. I know, so we're not really going to answer it.
Hang on. Mm. I'm going to answer it first.
Okay.
It's only fair.
Here's what she says. She says, the recent review of Concussion reminded me of a sad incident in my own life, a terrible concussion, which kept me from finally meeting / seeing Eric D. Snider in person. She and her husband were going to go to the Garen's Comedy Troupe reunion show back in September 2013. But the night before, she was in a car accident, severely concussed, and wasn't able to attend the show or form sentences or walk in a straight line, etc. So I guess my question is, any plans for another Garen's reunion performance?
And what is this person's name again?
Tasha.
Okay, and am I answering it as you?
Sure.
Tasha, I don't care about your issue.
What? That's not how I would answer.
No?
No. The answer to your question is no, not anytime soon, another reunion performance. But you can download a video of that one that you missed. Go to Garen's, or is it thegarens.com? I can't remember.
You created it.
It's thegarens.com, and there's a link there to where you can download the video and watch it. It'll be as though you were there without having to be in Provo, which is really the best of both worlds right there.
And yeah. Unfortunately, it won't necessarily take away the hell that she probably had to go through.
Yeah, sorry about your accent. I assume you're okay now since you're typing on Facebook and stuff.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. Sorry you missed the show. It's not that exciting to meet me, though, like if that's what you were after.
If you're talking about like a first impression, no, mm-hmm. definitely not. But around like the 20th time when you realize he's not going to leave, something about it really starts sounding like inviting and comfortable.
Once you you know what? I'm like a very powerful cologne. I take some getting used to. But then eventually you're like, okay, this is all right.
Yeah, like as
long –
this
doesn't give me a headache anymore.
Yes, because for the most part, what you realize is he's not reapplying the cologne. Like he's just slowly – he's still there, but he's slowly fading away. So where he's like just kind of in a corner somewhere and you're like, oh, there's – Eric's here. How long has he been here?
You get used to it.
Yeah. Or you just get a – you get a whiff of it every once in a while and you're like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that guy.
Him.
Hmm.
That's and nice. That's my friend Eric D. Snyder.
thank you for your questions in this segment that we call, hey, here's a question.
There's an answer.
Here's a question. There's an answer.
I almost like that as a title.
Mm-hmm.
It probably won't work, but yeah.
And so to recap then, the Danish girl, not very good.
No, it's not very good.
And youth is really good.
Yeah, it's really good.
They like that. Michael Caine, Harvey Keitel.
Yeah. Don't let the idea of old people scare you away from this film.
No, not at all. You shouldn't.
It's, in fact, a vibrant, young-ish kind of feeling of a film thing that you could see and enjoy at the theater.
There you go. And question of the week, what movie are you most disappointed that someone you love loves?
You know what? I'm just going to go, because I have a terrible memory, I'm just going to go to ericdsnyder.com, and then I'm going to go to film reviews, and then I'm going to click, and I'm going to find the A movies that you like. I've done this once before when because you were picking on me about some, I don't know, some Robin Williams movie before.
Or Forrest Gump, maybe. It's another one
ridiculous.
That you love.
Yes, I'm fine with that. That's okay. I'm allowed to like that one a lot.
So you went looking for movies that I loved that you hated?
Yeah. And then I did it. Yeah, I like said a couple to you, and you're like, oh, yeah. And that was it. And I was like, well, this isn't very exciting at all.
It didn't bother me enough that you hated
like,
them.
Oh, yeah. I probably did like that. Like, it was that thing where you're like, that sounds familiar, but I don't really remember.
That sounds like something
anyway.
I'd say. Yeah.
And then you probably talked about how you didn't remember the end of the movie.
Probably. That is probably true.
That's probably the one characteristic that you wish – that you could trade with me, or do you not even care that you can't remember the end of movies?
No, I mean, I would like to remember things better generally, I guess. The thing is, I generally do have a really good memory, just for
I'm saying. And that's more something that would, like, people who listen to the show, if you said, guess who doesn't remember the end of movies very well, I assume they would point at me.
That's true. That's a good point.
But I am better than you at this.
That is true.
I win.
No disagreement there.
Again.
All right, so we settled that. So until next week, for Movie BS with Baron Snyder, I'm Eric D. Snyder.
I'm Jeff Baer.
Thanks for listening, and good day.
I said good day.